Mohini Kumar. Oh, Mohini Kumar. It won't be like that. Good funny. This will be different. Thank you. Chapter 13, text, chapter 13, yeah, 31, text 31, right? Yeah, 31 to 37. So we're on chapter 13, canto 1, of course, chapter 13. We're doing text number 31 through 37. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Saraswatam Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Before reciting this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental song, is established as an irrevocable fact. So do you know why we say Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya? It's a little extra here. Vasudevaya. So what are we doing when we say that prayer? Offering obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Correct. Why Vasudev? Why not Govindaya? Why not Krishnaya? Why not? Have you ever thought of that? Well, Vasudev is the name of Krishna too. It's also a name of his father, but it's a name of Krishna. Okay. Vaishnava? Yes, you're getting warmer. Vasudev is the Lord of Consciousness. So we're asking the Lord of Consciousness to bless us that we'll be able to focus our consciousness on Him. Okay, text 31. I didn't actually. One, two seconds. Ajata Shatru Krita Maitra Hutagnir. Ajata Shatru Krita Maitra Hutagnir. Vipranatvatila Gobumi Rukmai. Vipranatvatila Gobumi Rukmai. Grihan Pravishta Guru Vandanaya. Grihan Pravishta Guru Vandanaya. Nacha Pasyat Pitaro So Balimcha. Nacha Pasyat Pitaro So Balimcha. Ajata Shatru Krita Maitra Hutagnir. Vipranatvati lago bhumi rukmai. Vihan pravishta guru vandanaya. Macha pasyat pitaro shobalimcha. Please chant. Ajata shatra krita maitro hutagnir. Vipranatvati lago bhumi rukmai. Griham pravishto guru vandanaya. Lacha pasyat pitaro shobalimcha. Ajata shatra krita maitro hutagnir. Vipranatvati lago bhumi rukmai. Grihan pravishto guru vandanaya. Nacha pasyat pitaro shobalimcha. Ajata shatru maitro. Vipranatvati lago bhumi mukmai. Grihan pravishta guru vandanaya. Naja pasyat pitaro shobalimcha. Ajata shatru krita maitro hutagnir. Vipranatvati lago bhumi rukmai. Grihan pravishto guru vandanaya. Nacha pasyat pitaro shobalimcha. Ajata, never born. Shatru, enemy. So who was that person who never had any enemies born? He never... Yudhishthir. People might have been enemies of him, but he never felt inimical towards anyone else. That's Yudhishthir. Kritva, having performed Maitrai, worshipping the demigods, Huta Agni, and offering fuel in the fire. Vipran, the brahmanas. Natva, offering obeisances. Tila go bhumi rukmai, along with grains, cows, land, and gold. Okay. Tila means sesame seeds. Grihan, within the palace. Pravishta, having entered into Guru Vandanaya, for offering respect to the elderly members. Na, did not. Cha, also. Apasat, see, Pitaro, his uncles, Sobalim, Gandhari, Cha, also, Sobalim. Gandhari was the daughter of Subal. What do you remember what his name is? Shubala, thanks. So that's Sobalim is Gandhari, the daughter of. Translation, Maharaj Yudhishthir, whose enemy was never born, performed his daily morning duties by praying, offering fire sacrifices to the sun god, and offering obeisances, grains, cows, land, and gold to the Brahmins. He then entered the palace to pay respects to the elderly. However, he could not find his uncles or aunt, the daughter of King Subal. Oh, there's the answer. Let's say it together, okay? Slowly. Together means we want to all stick together. We don't want someone to run ahead. And we don't want someone to lag behind, okay? Maharaj Yudhishthir, whose enemy was never born, performed his daily morning duties by praying, offering fire sacrifices to the sun god, and offering obeisances, grains, cows, land, and gold to the Brahmins. He then entered the palace to pay respects to the elderly. However, he could not find his uncles or aunt, the daughter of King Subal. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Maharishi Yudhisthira was the most pious king because he personally practiced daily the pious duties for householders. The householders are required to rise early in the morning, and after bathing, they should offer respects to the deities at home by prayers, by offering fuel in the sacred fire. What's the fuel that you offer into the sacred fire?
Ghee.
And by giving the Brahmins in charity land, cows, grains, gold, etc. And at last, offering to the elderly members due respects and obeisances. Here's an important point Prabhupada's going to make. One who is not prepared to practice injunctions prescribed in the Shastras cannot be a good man simply by book knowledge. Interesting, huh? You have to practice what you preach. You have to practice what you're doing, or else what's the sense? If there's no practice, if there's no effect of the Shastras on your life, then obviously you haven't fully comprehended the meaning of the Shastras. Modern householders are practiced to different modes of life, namely to rise late and then take bed tea without any sort of cleanliness and without any purificatory practices as mentioned above. Even that habit of taking bed tea, even that, that's like antiquated, right? Now, people don't even take anything. They don't even take coffee. I just saw a little commercial for something. When it was too hard to make a cup of coffee, you'd take this little bottle of something or other. It gives you the caffeine, all the caffeine you need for the day. The household children are taken to practice what the parents practice, and therefore the whole generation glides toward hell. Nothing good can be expected from them unless they associate with sadhus. Like Dhritarashtra, the materialistic person may take lessons from a sadhu like Vidura and thus be cleansed of the effects of modern life. So it is possible to be cleansed by the effects of the contamination of modern life, but it's only possible in the association of a great soul. Let me just see. Okay, I'll just finish. Maharaj Yudhisthira, however, could not find in the palace his two uncles, namely Dhritarashtra and Vidura, along with Gandhari, the daughter of King Subal. He was anxious to see them, and therefore he asked Sanjay, the private secretary of Dhritarashtra. So we'll continue. Where's the microphone? Oh, it's up in there. So can you read the next verse into the mic, please? And pass it along, or whatever, a little bit.
Maharaj Yudhisthira, full of anxiety, turned to Sanjaya, who was sitting there, and said, "O Sanjaya, where is our uncle, who is old and blind?"
Where is my well-wisher uncle?
Vidura.
And mother Gandhari, who is very afflicted due to all her son's demise. My uncle Dhritarashtra was also very mortified due to the death of all his sons and grandsons. Undoubtedly, I am very ungrateful. Did he therefore take my offense very seriously and along with his wife, wrong himself to the end?
Thanks. Can you pass it on, Tony? Will you read today? Thanks. Nope. We can read the purport to that because we have time. Thank you.
Pandavas, especially Maharaj Yudhisthira and Arjuna, dissipated the
after effects
of the battle of Kurukshetra, and therefore Arjuna declined to execute the fighting. The fight was executed by the will of the Lord, but the effects of the final agreement that they had thought of had come to be true. Maharaj Yudhisthira was always conscious of the great plight of his uncle Dhritarashtra and aunt Gandhari, and therefore he took all possible care for them in their old age and a great condition.
Thank you.
When, therefore, he could not find his uncle and aunt in the palace, naturally his doubts arose, and he conjectured that they had gone down to the water of the Ganges. He thought himself ungrateful because when the Pandavas were fatherless, Maharaj Dhritarashtra had given them all royal facilities to live, and in return he had killed all Dhritarashtra's sons in the Battle of Kurukshetra. As a pious man, Maharaj Yudhishthira took into account all his unavoidable misdeeds, and he never thought of the misdeeds of his uncle and company. Dhritarashtra had suffered the effects of his own misdeeds by the will of the Lord, but Maharaj Yudhishthira was thinking only of his own unavoidable misdeeds. That is the nature of a good man and devotee of the Lord. A devotee never finds fault with others, but tries to find his own and thus rectify them as far as possible.
There's a lot in that purport that we'll discuss in a few minutes.
Next verse?
Yes, please.
When my father Pandu fell down and we were all small children, these two uncles gave us protection from all kinds of calamities. They were always our good well-wishers. Alas, where have they gone from here?
Continue, Gopal.
Suta Goswami said, because of compassion and mental agitation, Sanjaya, not having seen his own master, Dhritarashtra, was aggrieved and could not properly reply to Maharaj Yudhishthira.
You can read the purport, please.
Sanjaya was the personal assistant of Maharaj Dhritarashtra for a very long time, and thus he had the opportunity to study the life of Dhritarashtra. And when he saw at last that Dhritarashtra had left home, without his knowledge, his sorrows had no bound. He was fully compassionate toward Dhritarashtra, because in the game of the Battle of Kurukshetra, King Dhritarashtra had lost everything, men and money, and at last the king and the queen had to leave home in utter frustration. He studied the situation in his own way because he did not know that the inner vision of Dhritarashtra has been awakened by Vidura, and that therefore he had left home in enthusiastic cheerfulness for a better life after departure from the dark well of home. Unless one is convinced of a better life after renunciation of the present life, one cannot stick to the renounced order of life simply by artificial dress or staying out of the home.
Okay, text 36.
First, he slowly pacified his mind by intelligence, and wiping away his tears and thinking of the feet of his master, Dhritarashtra, he began to reply to Maharaj Yudhishthira.
And 37, we'll end on 37.
Sanjaya said, my dear descendant of the Kuru dynasty, I have no information of the determination of your two uncles and Gandhari. O king, I have been cheated by those great souls.
So he's saying, I've been cheated by these great souls. I don't know what's going on. Continue. Yes, some really important purport here.
That great souls cheat others may be astonishing to know, but it is a fact that great souls cheat others for a great cause.
That's an important, astonishing sentence, isn't it? Go on.
It is said that Lord Krishna also advised Yudhishthira to tell a lie before Dronacharya, and it was also for a great cause. The Lord wanted it, and therefore it was a great cause. Satisfaction of the Lord is the criterion of one who is a bona fide, and the highest perfection of life is to satisfy the Lord by one's occupational duty.
That is the verdict of Gita and Bhagavatam. Dhritarashtra and Vidura, followed by Gandhari, did not disclose their determination to Sanjaya, although he was constantly with Dhritarashtra as his personal assistant. Sanjaya never thought that Dhritarashtra could perform any act without consulting him. But Dhritarashtra's going away from home was so confidential that it could not be disclosed even to Sanjaya. Sanatana Goswami also cheated the keeper of the prison house while going away to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And similarly, Raghunath Das Goswami also cheated his priest and left home for good to satisfy the Lord. To satisfy the Lord, anything is good, for it is in relation with the absolute truth. We also had the same opportunity to cheat the family members and leave home to engage in the service of Srimad Bhagavatam. Such cheating was necessary for a great cause, and there's no loss for any party in such transcendental fraud.
Amazing, huh? Totally amazing. Jai Srila Prabhupada. So let's go back and we'll start again. Okay, text 31. Maharaj Yudhishthira, whose enemy was never born, performed the daily morning duties by praying, offering fire sacrifice to the sun god, offering obeisances, grains, cows, and land, and gold to the Brahmins. He then entered the palace to pay respects to the elderly. However, he could not find his uncles or aunt, the daughter of King Subal. So we're getting a glimpse in this chapter and these chapters into the inner life of the palace. You know, one time we're hearing philosophy so much, but now you're actually getting to hear and understand what the people, how they reacted to the situation. And it's quite enlightening how Maharaj Yudhisthira, his immediate reaction. We could try to place ourselves in the situation of Maharaj Yudhisthira. And if we were in that situation of Maharaj Yudhisthira, and if I was in that situation of Maharaj Yudhisthira, and I went and didn't see my uncle and aunt who had just arranged this whole battle and all this intrigue for years and years and years, would that be my reaction? Oh, where are they? I'm in anxiety. Have I offended them? Would that be my reaction? Far from it would be my reaction would be totally the opposite, you know? And yet you see how Maharaj Yudhisthira, this was his immediate reaction. Immediately, as explained in the next few verses, he immediately considers that he's the one that's at fault. He must not have served his uncle and aunt properly, and therefore they, in total distress and bereavement, went and committed suicide, and now it's my fault. Yudhisthira's thinking, it's my fault they've done that, because I couldn't comfort them enough. And yet, as we become more familiar with the circumstances that led up to the Battle of Kurukshetra, this is totally an amazing insight into the noble character of Maharaj Yudhisthira. So in this verse here, this text 31, it's explaining how Maharaj Yudhisthira was through and through. He was thoroughly a good person. He was accustomed to rising early. And it wasn't just mere rituals for him. It was his life. He was rising early because he understood the higher principles. He understood the value. He wanted to do it. He wanted to do it. Not only did he want to do it, but he wanted to do it nicely. And he wanted to do it every day, even nicer than before. His heart was into it. His mind was into it. And we see the difference how in circumstances when the heart and the mind aren't in sync with the activities of the body, they come off quite mechanically, quite not on the same caliber. Just like a person could have the simple, because I like to make things practical. Sometimes we hear philosophy, and it's so nice up there, and then, you know, we shut the books, and you forget all about how to apply it. But okay, so someone might have a simple service here in Krishna house or wherever, you know, sweep the temple room floor, clean the this, do the that, serve out, help with the serve out. And one might do it because why? Well, because you live here. And because you want to stay here, and because you don't want that person to get on your case, and because, you know, so many reasons could be there, and those are valid reasons. But if the heart and the mind have the desire to please the Lord, then the result of that service is a totally different thing. Just like you can see, you know, someone can sweep the floor, finished. And someone can be thinking, oh, let me go here and there. It's just a simple thing. It doesn't take a PhD. But it's just consciousness. The consciousness is pushing us to so many things. So in our application of sadhana bhakti, practicing the rules and regulations, getting up early, it's not expected that one, in the beginning, gets up early because they're just raring to go. And, you know, but by doing it out of a sense of duty and obligation, and, you know, then gradually the taste will come, and gradually the desire will come, and then gradually one will get up in the morning with a smile on their face. Imagine that. Really early with a smile on your face. And you're just like, this is what you're doing. This is what we want to do. Let me try to do it. Let me chant my rounds attentively with love. I It's not like I have to chant 16 rounds or whatever the number of rounds are that you chant, but I get to do it. I get this opportunity. Somehow, by good fortune, this opportunity has come to me. I get to try to do it. Let me try to do it, even though my mind might possibly be raging to something else or 10 million other things. Let me try to apply it into the service of the Lord. So anyway, Maharaj Yudhisthira, his immediate reaction was, what have I done wrong? Isn't that amazing? It's just totally amazing to me. His immediate reaction. Look what he says over here. I don't know what's happened. Text 32. Full of anxiety, turned to Sanjay, who was sitting there. Said, Sanjay, where's our uncle, who is old and blind? And then he says, where are my well-wishers? What have I done? What have I done? I am very ungrateful. Now, that's an unusual statement. How is it that he's ungrateful? After the Battle of Kurukshetra, when Dhritarashtra very determinedly plotted against Maharaj Yudhisthira and his brothers to wash him away. It was peaceful annihilation in their youth. When they were young boys, he was trying to arrange for a peaceful annihilation. So they were young boys so that they could just be washed away, wiped out, and nobody would, you know, mind too much. So then all that intrigue through their youth and into their manhood, and then the Battle of Kurukshetra, and they fought, everyone on both sides fought very determinedly to wipe out the other person. Then after the battle, all Dhritarashtra's 100 sons, all of them are dead. His whole army is dead. His whole treasury is forsaken, broken, nothing left, not a paisa left in his treasury, nothing left. Only his life is left. And Yudhisthira Maharaj says, please come to live in my house. The man who he was fighting against, the ringmaster, the whole thing, he said, oh, please come and live in my house. Let me serve you. Oh, are you okay? Are you this? And very attentively, Maharaj Yudhisthira served him. So here he's saying, this is Yudhisthira speaking, undoubtedly I am very ungrateful. So in the explanation of Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur on this verse, he says that Maharaj Yudhisthira is thinking, that Dhritarashtra is thinking. So Maharaj Yudhisthira is thinking, Dhritarashtra is thinking, that Yudhisthira killed all my 100 sons. He could have at least left one of them alive. But he and his brothers, most likely Bhim, killed all 100. So this is what he's hinting at. Yudhisthira is thinking, I'm ungrateful. So Yudhisthira is thinking, I should have left at least one of his sons alive. Amazing, huh? He's thinking like that. Anyway, did he therefore take my offenses very seriously, along with his wife, drown himself in the Ganges? Because then Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, Dhritarashtra is thinking that let me drown myself in the Ganges so Yudhisthira can feel the guilt of driving me to my death. Amazing how the mind just twists so many things. And immediately that's how Yudhisthira is feeling. Immediately his reaction is, it's my fault. He's thinking that they went and drowned themselves in the Ganges due to their grief. And this is my fault because I haven't reassured them enough. I wasn't able to alleviate their grief. This is my fault. And he's feeling really incredibly afflicted by that. But Prabhupada points out in this purport, is it this purport? The nature, yeah, okay. The bottom part of the purport there. This is the nature of a good man and a devotee of the Lord. A devotee never finds faults with others. He always tries to find his own faults and rectify them. That is an amazing platform to be on. And how is it? It's not in this material world, in our conditional state, it's not easy or natural for us to immediately think of our faults. We're most likely thinking, I'm suffering because of this, that. We're looking for the external reason why we're in difficulty. Never think of ourselves. So can we just have a little bit of a discussion? Give some thought to that. How is it that one can be? What type of consciousness does one have not to find faults with others? We hear it said, we shouldn't find fault. So how are we going to climb up to that position? Vaishnav, look, we've got two microphones over here. How can we cultivate that to get to that point that we're actually not finding fault too often?
Well, most of the time we find happiness outside.
Yes.
But it's within. So when we have learned that happiness is within, we stop finding faults outside.
Okay. Good instructions. Gopal?
It's
true. But we want to try to cultivate it and practice it. So how can you give us some tips? That's totally true. That's true. But the qualities need to be cultivated. You need to cultivate. Baladev, do you have some?
By practicing Trinara Pishanishena, Katora Pishahishna, Amanina Amanina Kirtaniya Sahari, in a humble state of mind.
Okay.
If we are in that state of mind, then we'll not find faults on others, because we think ourselves and we act in that manner. Humble.
Okay. Go a little deeper. How do we practice being humble? What kind of a state of mind do we... Humble, how do we get there?
By doing menial service.
Menial service, okay.
One definition of humility is you're aware of your own faults.
Aware of your own faults, okay. Okay, what other knowledge... Dvijamani, we have to cultivate so many things to actually be able to even do that.
I think by thinking that we are the servant of the Lord, so we are the servant of the servant of the servant.
Okay, so good. Chintamani?
I think that finding things that we're grateful for in each devotee around us is really important. So if we focus on the things that we really appreciate in each devotee,
okay, very
we'll be
good.
In that kind of mindset, and instead of finding the faults, we'll find the things that we like.
Srila Prabhupada gives the example like the bees and the flies. The bee naturally goes for the honey, fly naturally goes for the sore. So what kind of mentality do we want to cultivate? Gratitude. What good qualities are there? Okay, so when things are happening and we actually have to understand even this understanding of karma. We have to understand that what we're doing is not based on just the immediate circumstances. Things are happening to us because of past misdeeds of our own, or we wouldn't be in that situation. We have done things in our past, and here we are today. This is why. If we did it in a different way, we might be in a different position or whatever. And so if we're introspective like that, then when perhaps injustices occur to us, we won't see them as injustices. Prabhupada said one time, who was he saying? Not to be angry at the... Oh, it was to Bhaktitirtha Maharaj. It was a conversation Prabhupada was having with Bhaktitirtha Maharaj. I think it was before he had taken sannyas. And... Ganasyam Prabhu was telling Prabhupada, but Prabhupada, in our movement, people are discriminating against me because I'm black. And Prabhupada said, we can't be angry at the instruments of our karma. Whatever our circumstances are, whatever we've done certain things, people react to us in a certain way. And we also, project certain reactions onto other people. We can project niceties or we can project offenses onto other people. But if we understand that Srimad Bhagavatam is trying to give us the information to understand that the soul's journey through the material world is due to their own misdeeds. And as a result of my own misdeeds, I have a responsibility to accept the reactions of my activities. They might appear in this life, it might appear that somebody wins the lottery by chance. It might appear that somebody has a tragic accident by chance, but nothing's happening by chance. Everything's happening as a result of different activities in the past. And by Krishna's mercy, that as for one who's trying to surrender to him and trying to develop knowledge of our real positions, then Krishna just gives us a token of what we deserve. We deserve a lot worse. But Krishna, by seeing someone try to aspire to become his devotee, just gives a token of what we deserve. Lord Brahma explains that in 10th canto. Tatenukam mamsu samikshamana. That if one goes on suffering the resultant activities of his past life, or his past misdeeds, he says, past misdeeds, and offers respects to the Lord, his attitude of gratitude towards the Lord, then either suffering misdeeds, the resultant reaction of misdeeds, or enjoying, quote-unquote, the pious activities that one might have done, then whatever, as long as one has an attitude of offering respects to the Lord, then one becomes eligible to enter the kingdom of God. But Gopal Prabhu's point is that by performing the process of sadhana bhakti, these qualities will come. They'll come automatically. Yeah, they'll come automatically, but we need to cultivate it, because oftentimes we can be on automatic pilot for a long time and be kind of stuck in like neutral. You have to cultivate these things, or else get it, or else you don't really get it in gear fast enough, and your whole life goes. And at the end of life, it's like, oh, it came so fast, the end of my life. I was just going to get really serious tomorrow. Okay, anyway, Maharaj Yudhisthira. So Prabhupada says that Maharaj Yudhisthira, even though he was in such extreme circumstances, he didn't even consider the faults of Dhritarashtra. He considered that I have made offense to them. It's totally amazing. And then what Sanjaya says, that's even more amazing. So what does Sanjaya say? Sanjaya says, I turned too many pages. So Sanjaya, anyway, I find it interesting. Let's go to 35. I find it interesting how Sanjaya, he was still very affectionate to Dhritarashtra. He could see simultaneously. Sanjaya wasn't a blind person. He wasn't just, you know, uncultured and blind, thinking that Dhritarashtra was, you know, the all-good, wonderful master. But he appreciated Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra had maintained Sanjaya for many, many years and treated him with affection. And Sanjaya could see his frailties, but he also could see whatever good qualities were there. See, I can't even say that. I couldn't even say Dhritarashtra's good qualities. How to say his supposed good qualities. Anyway, but Sanjaya was affectionate to him, and he could appreciate them. And he was so afflicted that Dhritarashtra, actually, after all these years of his faithful service to Dhritarashtra finally did this one thing, didn't even consult or let Sanjaya know. So then in 37, when Sanjaya speaks, he says, "Verily, I've been cheated by these great souls." In Prabhupada's first line of that purport, the fact that great souls cheat one another may be astonishing, but it is a fact that great souls cheat others for a great cause. That's totally an amazing sentence. It's totally amazing concept, no? We're always trying to figure out in our material conception of life, we have and even in our attempt to make spiritual advancement, we're trying to figure out material life means this, spiritual life means this. I have a conception of bad, I have a conception of good. spiritual life goodness should be like this and fit into my box of what I consider goodness to be. And this, I can understand what evil, bad this is. But Krishna is so amazing. He doesn't fit into a little box. In fact, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, I was just hearing the verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita, really, and this one verse stuck in my head as appropriate for this discussion. Krishnadas Kaviraj is talking, and it's in the story of when Lord Chaitanya is discussing with when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is discussing with his brother-in-law, Gopinath, and they're discussing if Lord Chaitanya is God. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya just met the Lord. He just fainted. There's going back and forth. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is a great learned scholar. He studied all of these books. He gives great discourses. He's highly advanced. He's highly respected. And he's quoting, how can you say that this person is God? In Kali Yuga, there's no incarnation of God in Kali Yuga that comes. And he quotes the scripture to prove it, that the Lord is only known as Tri Yuga. Gopinath Acharya goes back and forth. At one point he says, you'll never be able to understand the Lord, even though you're so great and you know so much, until you get one drop of his mercy. And until you get one drop of the Lord's mercy, then you can understand something of the Lord. And then Krishnadas Kaviraj goes on and he says, spiritual substance is never under the jurisdiction of material conception. Spiritual substance is never under the jurisdiction of material conception. We're trying to figure out, just like so we would, and our normal understanding of good and spiritual life doesn't have any space for cheating. Cheating is a bad quality, and you know that's something that someone in material conditioned life will do. Someone who's aspiring transcendentalist, they're not into cheating. Prabhupada just changes that totally all around by saying that great souls cheat others may be astonishing, but great souls cheat others for a great cause. And then in the end he says, and there is no loss. It's all good for that. So then the mind perhaps will say, but that might be for a great soul, but that, and then this person is thinking, and he's thinking he's a great soul, but he's just a conditioned soul, and he's cheating, and that's wrong. And, the mind might think so many things, And one has to be careful. In the history of our ISKCON movement, there was an attitude cultivated for a certain amount of time that we could do anything on Sankirtan to anybody, and that was okay because it's right here, Prabhu. Great souls cheat others for a great cause, and there's no loss. Okay, so we can do, questionable means of distributing books and questionable means of collecting money because it's all for Krishna. That might be, but one has to be on a very high caliber because there's reactions for those things. There's reactions. One has to be a very high caliber of devotional service. But the point is that it does exist, that great souls cheat others. Can you think of, basing on this purport to text 37, can you think, Prabhupada gave a couple of instances. One of Sanatana Goswami cheated the jail keeper, and then also Raghunath cheated his priest. Can you think of some other stories of devotees? Whoa, okay, Shruti.
I think it's about incarnation.
Okay.
So Vamanadev tricking.
Vamanadev. There's a cheater. Yeah. I just want three paces of land. I've just got little feet. Yeah, good one. Okay. Haridas, that's a great one. Thanks. Haridas Thakur cheated the prostitute out of her evil intention by purifying her. By just sit down for one day, 2 days, 3 days, and she becomes purified. Any others? I forget your name. Divaka. Okay. What's your example? Jayadrath. Okay.
Jayadrath. He was killed because there was no sunset, but
I forgot that part.
And then in case of
Krishna
Jarasandha
did that.
As well.
Yeah, he covered the sun.
Yes.
Day's over. Yippee! Psh. Sun. Yeah, that's Krishna. Okay. All right. Thank you. Another one. Great souls cheating others for a great, but it has to be for a great cause. Not that wasn't. But Gopal, you got one?
I remember hearing years ago a story a devotee was telling how he gave his entire life savings to Prabhupada, and he wanted one of the volumes of the Bhagavatam, and Prabhupada said, "Oh, that'll be $10 or whatever." And I remember thinking, "What's going on here?" I remember actually thinking,
And Prabhupada wanted $10 more for the Bhagavatam. Jai, I thought of another one too. Just as you were talking, similar to that, Prabhupada says, don't just come and chant and dance and take prasadam. It's a very simple process. It's all you have to do is chant and dance and take prasadam. And it's true. He cheated us. Because after one chants and dances and takes prasadam for a certain amount of time and develops a taste, then they find out, oh, there's a little bit more to it, but you can't give it up because you got a taste and there's a lot more there.
These
Gopal?
People going to Krishna lunch every day.
Exactly.
Their eternal life is over. They think
you know
getting,
what that means?
They think they're getting a cheap meal to help them through college.
That means you're all engaged in cheating. You're all engaged. So you're all great souls cheating someone for a great cause. Because sometimes it has to be like that. Yeah. Chintamani.
Remembered in the Prabhupada-amrita.
Okay.
I forget the name of the devotee, but she was cleaning the pot, and he kept saying, okay, yeah, just a little more.
Jamuna.
Was it Jamuna? Yeah.
That was Jamuna.
They were going to make sweets or something.
Yeah, she was cooking for Janaki's wedding.
First, she just had to clean this pot, and he kind of did it in a way that sounded really easy, and then she was, working for hours on it.
Hours and hours. And then when she got the inside all spanky clean, Prabhupada said, very good. Now do the outside. Very good. And that's interesting, huh? That whole circumstance there. How, he didn't tell her that she couldn't, when she wanted to stop and get a smoke, well, okay, she went out and she smoked her cigarette. Now wash your hands. He just kept going like that. And just see. Yeah, that's a good one. Shruti?
First thing was Srila Prabhupada, how in London he got the deities.
Oh, the London, Radha Londoneshwar? Tamal, can you lift up Krishna? Yes, I can lift him up. And I don't remember who the other person is who lifted up who, Krishna or Radha. And then can you lift up Radha? Right, okay. And Prabhupada's talking away to, what was his, Goyal? I don't remember. Yeah, anyway, and then he just took the deities off. Yeah, because he understood that there's a higher mission here. Yeah, yeah. And I also thought of Sita. When Sita was in the forest, as soon as Ravana came before her, she disappeared. The real Sita disappeared. And because how can, thinking of that sentence, that verse, spiritual substance is always beyond the jurisdiction of material conception. So how could Ravana, materialistic person, touch Lakshmiji Sita, the goddess of fortune? So the real Sita disappeared. Ravana took the false Sita, and then when the she was tested in fire, the real Sita came out. Yes, dear. Oh, you want the plates? Oh, I thought you wanted to say something about class. Okay. Anyway, so it's amazing, but at the same, so we have to take this and understand it in proper perspective. When we teach the Bhakti Shastri courses, there's 12 aims of Bhakti of the course. And one of them is so there's knowledge. We want to learn knowledge. We want to be able to repeat. We want to learn how to apply it. But we also want to understand Prabhupada's mood and mission. We also want to understand things in context, not to take things out of context and use them to hammer home our points. So we have to understand it's academic and moral integrity. So this information of how great souls, or the fact that great souls do cheat others for a great cause, it's quite startling, innovative, whatever it is, you know. But we have to take it, we have to understand it in proper perspective and not to go off a deep, an end this way or that way with that information. So that's my contribution. Do you have anything? You do? Okay, let's get it into the microphone.
It's off.
Hare Krishna. All right, my question is, what's your take on devotees that go out and do the peak? And in the name of, yes, we are collecting donations for a charitable trust, we're collecting donations for Food for Life, and you know that they are not 100% or even 70% doing that for a good cause. Basically, they're just earning a living, you know, an easy way. We just heard that there is so much karma involved, and unless we are really highly elevated devotees, we cannot cheat others. Would this be considered cheating? And can you explain a little bit more on that?
Yeah. So let's, as a group, discuss this from what we just learned in our series of verses. So instead of finding the faults in others, we might find certain faults in person's activities or understanding. Let us look at ourselves and see what we would do. Would we do something like that? I don't think I would do that. I wouldn't engage personally in something like that because, there's such responsibility involved. And you know what? I don't really have much more to say. Sorry. Do you have something to say, Amrita? What should we do if we hear devotees being criticized? there's a practical question.
Grab some cartels and start kirtan.
That's one thing to do. Like, for example, thanks, Gopal. He said, say something nice about them. Just like on the 10 offenses, for the tongue that's blasphemed, what's the cure for someone who's blasphemed, who with their own tongue has blasphemed, or how do we get beyond blaspheme ourselves? Then we should learn how to praise. With our saint, Lord Chaitanya was a moga. With a moga was Sarvabhauma's son-in-law. He blasphemed Lord Chaitanya and then came down with cholera. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and the wife Sati were quite happy that he was dying. And